Well, I'm with Judith Potts, who has started an organisation called Esme's Umbrella. Judith, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Can you tell us a bit about the organisation, how it came about?
Yes, certainly. It's called Esme's Umbrella because that was my mother's name. And my mother suffered from Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Now, when I realized that's what her problem was, I looked for help and could find none at all. She had not spoken to me about this probably for possibly up to a year because she was terrified that she was developing dementia. And indeed, when she first said to me, "I wish those people would get off my sofa," I thought, dementia, because that's the only thing I could think of.
How long ago was this?
This was, oh gosh, 10 years ago now. She died 6 years ago. The syndrome stayed with her for her entire life. At the time, it was thought it might go after 18 months, but now Dr. Dominic Fitch, who is our medical advisor and the only person in probably the entire world who understands the Charles-Bonnet syndrome, tells me that it has now been proved that it can, with some people, stay for their whole life. My mother was a perfectly independent lady. She was in her early 90s, but she lived on her own. She did the Telegraph crossword every day. Her eyesight was failing, and we visited an ophthalmologist. She had, sadly, undiagnosed glaucoma, which he knew would lead to blindness, and never said a single word to us about the possibility that Charles-Bonnet might raise its ugly head. She was so frightened that even though I managed to diagnose her, actually from a very small piece in a newspaper, the very day she confessed to me what was going on, she never got over it. Her hallucinations were constant. I think she slept, but not very much. She would see these people on her sofa were faceless. She said to me, "They do go if I tap them on the shoulder." And she had unwittingly discovered one of the ways to dispel a hallucination.
Well, by trying to touch it.
By trying to, yes, sweep your hand across it and it will disappear. There are lots of other coping mechanisms which are on our website, which I'll talk about later. She also then described to me a goblin, gremlin creature which jumped from table to chair just out of reach always. He, she, it was with her all the time. A street child. She described to me a child in Victorian dress, but very poor, very dirty, and tear-stained.
She always knew that these weren't real people, did she? Or was she
She did at
occasionally?
first, but because they were there constantly, she found it a terrible torment. And towards the end of her life, it just became impossible
It's just like
for
having
her to
one
deal with.
long nightmare,
It's
really,
ha
isn't
like
it?
having
It's
one long nightmare. She'd been a children's nurse all her life, so this child following her everywhere was particularly horrible for her.
the same child,
The same
same
child, always the same
face.
face, always the same child. This child had a face, whereas the people on her sofa had no faces.
But not a
I'm
face
not sure which
that
is the more frightening, actually.
well, faceless people sound
Faceless
horrible.
people, really horrible. The other thing that happened was her garden would morph into somewhere completely different. Once she said to me when I arrived, "Whose funeral is outside?" And there was, of course, no funeral. It was an hallucination, but it was a perfect Edwardian funeral. The clergyman was in red cassock, the horses had plumes, there was a glass carriage carrying the coffin. Sometimes her room would disappear. She talked occasionally about armies. I'm not quite sure about that. However, I have heard from other people the terror of armies suddenly bursting through the wall and marching through the house. Yeah. Now, the other thing about these hallucinations, and this is very, very important, is that they are soundless.
Right.
There's no other sense involved. So if there is anything else, if you can taste or touch or smell or hear, it's not Charles Bonnet.
Right. Which is like a dream, I suppose, in a way, although you might imagine the sound, I suppose.
Yes, possibly. I think in a dream you probably do. But for instance, I was talking to a youngish chap the other day who has had Charles Bonnet since his early 30s. And he has seen very benign things like a beautiful bunch of flowers, a very pleasant dog sitting in the fireplace, two smiling, happy Tibetan monks who kept him company quite often. And he was very able to cope with this.
Yeah.
However, just recently, he told me that the hallucinations had changed and had become very sinister. And he was coming out of his bedroom to go down the stairs when up towards him was coming a pit bull terrier.
Oh, gosh.
Now, the other, I think, very frightening thing about these hallucinations is that they are very sharp and clear because they come from the brain and not the eyes. For someone whose eyesight is failing, it's particularly horrible because if a pit bull terrier comes towards you, you can see teeth. And you can see saliva.
Far more clearly than you
Far more clearly than you would if it was a real pit bull terrier coming towards you. You wouldn't be able to see it possibly in any clarity.
Right.
So that that can happen to people.
Did he say there was any particular way of dispelling those? I mean, it's a bit difficult to go and touch a pit bull terrier in case it really is.
Well, he said even though he in his head knew this was another hallucination, he shrank back and he watched it go past and disappear. Other people talk about spiders, worms, slugs everywhere. The two big problems, I think, apart from the fact that we need some medication to stop this happening at all, is that if your room transposes itself into something different, you can lose your balance and fall, and this has happened to people.
Yes, of course.
If suddenly there's a corridor in a strange room, you instinctively make for that corridor. It may be a wall. It may be, as happened to one lady, a window, in which case she fell. The other thing that is, I think, so frightening, some people see worms and slugs and spiders in everything, on their food, in their drink, everything. And however lucid you might be, if that happens to you all the time, you eventually think, I don't want to eat, actually. And there have been lots of cases. I've had people email me saying their mother or their father has just stopped eating because they can't bear to look at the scrambled eggs, which is covered in slugs and snails. And that is very, very hard. The only medication we have, really, is reassurance. There is some strong... They used to give antipsychotic medication, but they don't anymore. There are some sort of calming medications, which can work with some people, but it does depend what other medication you're on as well. But reassurance. But that's not very easy, because if you happen to live in a retirement home, a care home, you can't have a member of staff beside you 24 hours a day saying, please don't worry, there's nothing there.
Does the fact that medication which will sort of calm you gets rid of it, does that mean, do you think, that it's a stress related problem, that if you're under a bit of stress, that
no, it's entirely to do with the brain, which is so used to images filling in the blank bits, is basically the way Dominic puts it, and he explained
the receptors are all still there.
The receptors are still there, and it depends which part of the brain is firing as to what you see. Some people just see some people see words on everything. Some people see lattice work. Patterns.
I was going to say, I've heard a lot about patterns. Repetitive things.
Repetitive things.
After another,
yes,
the same. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But a tremendous number of people see water. A gentleman got in touch with me because he woke one morning, went to get out of bed, and suddenly the whole room became a river.
Oh my goodness.
And he found himself sitting on a pallet in the middle of this river. Now, this would be terrifying if you were 23.
Yes.
He was, I think, 82.
Yeah.
It's very, very frightening.
It's
and it's been, no one has done anything really to try and raise awareness until I came along.
is it universal? Does everybody who's losing sight suffer from this in some sort of very minor way, maybe in some cases?
No. The other thing we need to find out is why some people are never affected.
Right.
Again, it's something to do with the way their brain works or the parts of the brain that are particularly firing or not firing.
Yeah.
Some people are not affected at all. Other people are affected very badly to the end of their life, as my mother was.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no proof of this, but I strongly suspect that the stress that it caused her made her have the strokes that finally killed her, because she found it impossible.
Tense all the time and under pressure like that, it's bound to, isn't it?
Impossible to live with this. And it was it was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking.
So it's something that really needs studying quite a bit, doesn't it? But not by psychiatrists or psychologists, or I think it's more a chemical thing, isn't it, really? Or brain surgery, whoever's involved in that would be more
acclimated. I suppose so. We certainly need more interest. Dr. Dominic Fitch is doing a big research project on hallucinations in Charles Bonnet in Parkinson's and in a form of dementia called Lewy bodies. They are all different, but this is the only research project in this country that even includes Charles Bonnet syndrome. I would love to turn this awareness campaign into a charity and raise money for research. So if anybody would like to help me with that, I would be very grateful. At the moment, Esme's Umbrella is just me with this wonderful doctor who is marvelous, and I send all the emails that need diagnoses to him. But otherwise,
should we tell our listeners what the contact details are?
Most certainly. The website is www.charles bonnet, which is Bonnet syndrome.uk. The helpline is 0345 051 3925. And the email address is esmesumbrella, without apostrophe or lowercase, esmesumbrella@gmail.com.
Right, lovely. Well, if anyone has any doubts or worries or wants a bit more information, it's a good way of getting in contact with someone who can tell them something more about it, hopefully.
Please do, and please do not suffer in silence. Charles Bonnet syndrome has absolutely nothing to do with dementia.
Right.
It is entirely separate. If you are seeing things that aren't there, please get in touch with us. Speak to your GP. You will find that far too many GPs have never heard of Charles Bonnet. Ophthalmologists won't speak about it on the whole. Optometrists, few of them know, but not a great number. What I always suggest is that we have a printable sheet on our website which explains what it is. So if you were to get someone to print that sheet for you and take it with you to either your GP, or if you happen to be living in a care home or you have a relative who's living in a care home who you think might have this condition, take the sheet to the care home. I'm trying very hard to work my way around all the big groups that own a lot of care homes and try and put some awareness into their staff. When my mother eventually ended up in a nursing home, purely because of the Charles Bonnet, because she simply could not cope all day, every day, I went in and explained to the entire staff, from the cleaners upwards to the matron, what it was all about. None of them had ever heard of it.
No, yeah, it's surprising. It isn't more widely known, really. I mean, an awful lot of people must suffer from it, but probably don't talk very much about it.
No.
It's the trouble.
No, they don't. Yeah. And it's the more we can talk about it, the more we can raise awareness, the more we can persuade people it is nothing to do with dementia.
Right. Yeah.
I think then we might find that doctors have to take this seriously. Because there's no doctor to whom the ophthalmologist can refer a patient, I think that's the reason that they don't say anything. They just keep quiet because they lose face by saying, well, this is what you've got, but I can't do anything about it.
Nothing we can do.
No. There's nothing we can do. I wish they would just send people to our website where they could at least get reassurance. Reassurance is the big, big thing that we have to offer people.
When your mother was speaking to you, when you had been there, say, for a few minutes and everything, would she experience any hallucinations then? Or
yes.
Even while you were there?
Even while I was there. And, yes, so she would bat things away, her hand in the air and bat things away.
I
taught her various things to do. Dominic has, on our website, has an exercise which you do with your eyes, which is meant to get rid of the hallucination. It does work with some people, not with everybody.
Right.
But of course, they come back. It was a gentleman who works in an eye clinic who rang me the other day to tell me that a patient had said they've discovered that by shining a torch straight upwards in front of their eyes, not into their eyes, but straight upwards in front of their eyes, that does something to some of the brain cells and switches off the hallucination for that moment.
Right.
But it will come back. And of course, we have a population that is going to be full of elderly people, which is great in some ways, but it also means that the eyesight will go and there will be more people suffering. There are other conditions, of course, which cause blindness, like diabetes. And as you know, I'm sure type 2 diabetes is now growing among the population, and that carries with it the danger of going blind.
Right. Well, Judith, thank you very much indeed for giving so much time and so much advice.
Not at all.
And, very good luck with the Esme's umbrella. I hope it succeeds and flourishes. And that's very kind of you to spend so much time. Thank you very much
Not
indeed.
At all. My pleasure. Thank you.